We always hear how someone's greatness can be a positive influence to those around them. But is it possible that someone else's greatness can be a disadvantage to that person? Let's talk about it. Flip the coin over. Let's go. Okay, so this is probably the first podcast episode that will be centered around a sports related theme, because I watch basketball a lot. I watch the NBA playoffs a lot, and you know, I'm just a fan of the sport, even when my team is not really in it, even though I hate when my team loses and loses badly, you know. But we always watch teams with great players lead their squad to victory. And when they come up short, we immediately start to wonder, well, you know, that person didn't have any help, or that person played the best they could with what they had, and so on and so forth. Case in point, the Cleveland Cavaliers, before LeBron James recently left. It was always pointing the fingers at other players and saying, hey, you know, he did what he could, but the rest of the team didn't show up. And it led me to think, is there a good and a bad side to being great? You know, so in this first segment, just want to talk about the whole greatness aspect. Yes, being great is a positive thing. When you are around somebody whose work ethic is strong, that they give it their all, that they want to succeed, that they want to see people win, that should rub off on those around them. That should be something that everybody begins to strive for. That should be something that you say to yourself, that if I'm in that situation and I'm watching this person give 110%, why am I not giving 110%? Let me give 110% so that this person doesn't have to do everything by themselves. In case of the basketball arena, sometimes it seems like these teams have one or maybe two people who are carrying the team the best way they know how. And oftentimes that is not enough. You have to know where your role fit in. Sometimes they need that additional push or an additional rebound, additional steal, or just additional effort from those around them. They know that they're the stars of that team. They know they can win. They know they can ball out any given night of the week. But it also helps to know that your team is full of other players that want to ball out too and want to give it their all. Not saying that they don't, but sometimes it looks that way, right? I'm pretty sure you see it yourself. When you look at teams where the egos and the spotlight is about the team more so than one player, aka Golden State, I hate to say it, you know, but they really do look like the squad that says, look, it's team first, man. It don't matter how we get the win, it's about winning. When you look at a team like that, yes, it looks beautiful that, hey, they're sharing the ball. You got teams like even Utah Jazz, who beat my Oklahoma City Thunder. I had to eat humble pie like it was nothing, you know what I'm saying? Because I looked at that squad and said, you know what? It doesn't matter who had the hot hand. They passing that ball around. Everybody's getting in on action. Everybody's scoring double figures. They just look like a well-oiled machine, despite being young and inexperienced, you know, with the group that they had. They played great. And so to me, it seemed like the star players, the so-called face of the team, had help. Seemed like the face of the team rubbed off on those around them enough to say, look, we all in this together. Let's win together. Let's do what we can. So yes, greatness is a positive thing. If I'm strong in an arena and I have a team with me, I'm hoping that I'm making them strong in that same arena. That's the goal of it. We all win together. We play hard together. We win together. Nothing else needs to be said there. But when we flip this coin over, let's talk about whether or not greatness can actually be a disadvantage. Stay tuned. Okay, so in this segment, on the flip side of things, I want to talk about two aspects of how greatness can serve as a disadvantage. The greatness of one or two people versus the people that are around them, how that can serve as a disadvantage. One, we have to look at talent and skill level. And two, we have to look at expectations based off of that talent and skill level. So those are the main 2 points. All right, when we look at talent and skill level, let's put it back in the NBA example that we were looking at. All of the players that are in the NBA are there for a reason, because somebody at some point thought they were good enough to be drafted or signed to play that game. Okay, so they all have been good or great at something. When you assemble a team and you know that somebody is the face of that team, the strong suit of that team, you know, the Michael Jordan of the Bulls, the Larry Bird of the Celtics, the LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers. When you look at that person, you know that everything about this team starts with them. How this team wins, loses, everything starts with them. But when you look at the players around them, it comes down to the fact that, okay, here you have somebody who's an A caliber type of player, but you put them around B caliber teammates. And it's not to diminish them as people or as players, but it's simply the fact that their skill level just isn't as great as his. That's easily seen. When you look at the size, the ability, the talent that is in one person, you can't expect the team around that person to be able to do the same things he is able to do. That leads to my next point about expectation. If I know that I'm only 5'8 and I'm 170 pounds, I can't be expected to do what somebody else can do when the other person may be 6'1, 200 pounds. I might have the speed that I have, but I might not be able to jump like they jump, run like they run, slide like they slide, hit like they hit, and whatever sports analogy you want to use, I may not be able to do that. And it would be unfair to have that expectation upon that person. There's a video recently out of J.R. Smith, famous teammate of LeBron James, the infamous one who blew the last few seconds of the game in the playoffs. We all know what happened. They show him shooting in the gym and he's draining shots. And so people are wondering, well, how come he couldn't do this in the game? How come he couldn't do that? Why is it that he could do this now? Well, there's no expectation of him right now. There's no high expectation of that. He's in the gym with people who are helping him train for the upcoming season. On top of that, and this kind of can serve as point 2B in a way, because it has to deal with expectation, there's no spotlight on him. Yes, it was a video, and yes, that video may go viral, and yes, that video is seen by many people on the internet. But there is no high expectation of him being in a practice gym draining shots. There's high expectation when you're in a playoff game and it's at the crunch time and you're trying to figure out, can I help this team win? Should I pass the ball to the star player? Should I try to do something on my own? Well, if I do something on and it works great, will they still focus on the team player or the star player of the team? Or will they focus on the fact that I was clutch? All these expectations go into being in the spotlight. And some people can handle the spotlight and some can't. Some people relish for that spotlight and some shy away from it. Kevin Durant said himself, he's glad to be on a team where he doesn't have to worry about being the focus and the leader of that team. He just wants to play. And as much as I didn't want him to leave Oklahoma City because that was my squad, I respect what he is saying. I know it might come off as a shock to some, but I really do respect what he's saying, because in his mind, I'm great at what I do, minus the spotlight of everybody on me about what I do. Now, he can't avoid it because he's Kevin Durant and he's a great player and he's going to have that spotlight no matter what he's doing. But the statement about it was what resonated, because to me, he's telling you, yes, I can play, but if you take the expectation away, if you take the spotlight away, watch how great I can be. LeBron James' greatness was so great that his Cleveland Cavaliers could never meet his expectation, could never meet the expectations of the fans who cheered for him. Therefore, they lost more than they won championship-wise, because when it came down to it, his players were the same people as we were. Give the ball to LeBron, see what he can do, and I just wait for my chance to shoot the shot that I'm known to shoot. J.R. Smith was a beast in Denver. J.R. Smith was a beast in New York. And yeah, those teams are probably mediocre compared to the LeBron James era of Cleveland, the first stint or the second stint. At the same time, J.R. Smith could ball and wasn't afraid to ball. In Cleveland, it seems like there was an aroma, not so much with just him, but with other great players, that once you assembled them together, all of a sudden, playing time, playing skill, expectation, all this stuff started to diminish because, hey, we on a team with LeBron James. This is clearly his team. I'm just a puzzle piece in his team. So if all of a sudden now I'm expected not to be this baller, I'm expected not to be this star player like I was on previous teams, then why is that expectation all of a sudden coming when the playoffs hit? Why is it all of a sudden coming because he did mess up? Why is that coming all of a sudden because he's taking practice shots in the gym now? Why is that all of a sudden happening? I said from the jump when they made all those trades that the teams that these guys came from, they were the stars of those teams. But now that they are assembled on a team where they're not the star, they don't play as great. That's the danger of super teams. You put everybody super together, somebody's superpower is going to diminish because everybody can't be super together. Somebody has to say, you know what? My super is not right now. Your time to be super is right now. So, yes, I get both sides. Now, take it out of the arena of basketball for a second. If you own your job and you're great at what you do, and all of a sudden you begin to work somewhere else where you're not the experienced one, you're somewhat the rookie of that team despite having the experience that you had previously elsewhere, you still come up with the notion that, hey, I'm the new kid on the block here. And until I get my feet under me here, I'm supposed to be the sponge. I'm supposed to absorb it all. I'm supposed to relish in the moment of this is a learning assignment. This is a new arena. I am not the boss here. I am not in control here. I'm just here to do what I'm supposed to do. Some people can't handle the spotlight. Some people, you throw them in the spotlight and they mess up. That's just what it is. Some people are not ready for it. Some people may need more time. But when we look at greatness, we can't always say, well, this person was great, so the people around them should automatically be great. No, that's not true. That person is great because that person is great. The people around them may not ever be that great. And we should stop expecting them to do so. To be so. We should stop expecting them to be that clutch when we look at opportunities where they should have been given the opportunity to be that clutch and they was not given the opportunity to be that clutch. So why are we expecting clutchness now for clutch sake? Why are we expecting greatness for greatness sake? Yes, he's in a gym shooting around, draining his shots. Why? Because he's going to be in Cleveland next year when LeBron James isn't. Maybe that removal of such a great player will allow other players on that team to relish in their own individual greatness and to see how their greatness collectively can come together, because there's no more superstars of that magnitude on that team. The superstar of that magnitude has left for Los Angeles. So Cleveland might be okay next year because everybody's expecting a low turn now, a low result. So when the expectation is low, there's no pressure, because as soon as you step one inch or one point above that expectation, you all of a sudden look better than what they thought you did. But when your expectation is high and you come up short, oh man, that's a heavy fall. So I just wanted to point the flip side out of it. When you look at talent and skill versus expectation and spotlight, all of a sudden, greatness of one doesn't automatically mean everything around you is going to be great, because they can't do what you do, and they can't do it at the magnitude in which you do it. Ponder about that. Think about that. All right, once again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Flip the Coin Over. One thing, as always, I want you to check out my website, taacker.com. Feel free to check out or purchase any of my books that I've written. Check out some of the journal submissions that I've done. Just check me out. See what I'm about. That's taacker.com. That's the website. Also, I am pondering about expanding the podcast beyond just the Flip the Coin Over. So let me know what you think about those ideas. I want to talk about education and careers and different things like that. So I'm pondering on whether I'm going to just make this a segment of a bigger podcast or do a separate podcast, all those different things. But thank you once again for tuning in to this one. And y'all take it easy in the meantime. And as always, flip the coin over. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.